Well, good morning. Our scripture text is taken from Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6 in verse 3. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. So I took my wife's advice and I decided not to preach this on either Valentine's Day or Mother's Day. So we figured we'd go somewhere in the middle. We'd hit that up around St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, hopefully it wouldn't be too rough. But all kidding aside, this is very, very serious stuff. A very serious passage and very relevant to us today, even as Christians, with regard to application. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seed of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Look at how quickly things have changed as of late. The COVID plague came upon us suddenly. Lives were lost, freedoms were assaulted, and we're still fighting to get them back. Those who burn, assault, vandalize, loot, steal, and kill in the name of social justice do so with impunity. And law-abiding citizens must live in this world. Both in the United States and abroad, those who wish to live in freedom, unmolested by tyrants, must be wary of their own governments. Consider also the Russian invasion of Ukraine a couple of weeks ago. The day of doom has come suddenly upon those poor civilian peoples. And meanwhile, all the while, though you may live in peace, even today, the day of death, the day when you will meet your Maker, marches on to your door. Solomon writes this: where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time in judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. So friend, will you not hear Amos in our text? Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom because of carnal security. A certain Christian here may be thinking, but I am a sinner saved by grace. What have I to do with the day of doom? Does it not frighten you what the end will be for the unsaved? Do you put far off the day and live a spiritually profitless life? Have you taken the sobering challenge of Scripture? Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, unless indeed you are disqualified by reason of false profession. Are you a young person here today saying, my whole life is ahead of me? This thought is for the rest of the people here, especially the older ones. We all thought like that once. Are you certain about that? Are you wiser than Solomon, who warns you, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth? And James says this, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Perhaps you are doing well. You are comfortable in your home. You have a nest egg, a little money in the bank, a 401k. The Lord has blessed you. Have you forgotten your maker and source? Or do you thank him daily for all these things? Is it possible that God must take further measures to gain your attention? Inflation may take away everything that you have, but it cannot take away your salvation and your riches in Christ Jesus. So trust in those. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He was exceedingly powerful and exceedingly rich. And because of his pride and his arrogance, him thinking that he did all this, he accumulated all of this because of his own greatness and brilliance and hard work, he became as the beast of the field. And so all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, God gave him a little bit of time to repent. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. And 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Woe to you, who put far off the day of doom because of presumption. Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand in the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. And again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look. The house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore. But the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Woe to you, who put far off the day of doom. Will the just one fail to judge us because we live in America? When he even did so to his people Israel because of their sin? Do you think that because you are in a godly family or are in a church that you are automatically in and immune to the judgment of God? Do you not know that judgment begins in the house of God? For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, think of this. Consider this. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. In other words, each one shall reap what he has sown. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? And friend, you have an opportunity to do that this morning. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom because of procrastination and laziness. We have an epidemic of laziness in our country, in our society, in our churches. You can't even get people to get up in the morning and go to work anymore. But consider how spiritually lazy many of God's people have become. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. This guy wasn't going to a funeral. He was waiting for his father to die 5, 10, 15 years from them so he could make sure he got every dime of the inheritance that was due to him. That's where his priorities were at. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These would-be disciples said this, just a little more world and then I'll go. Just as the drunkard says, just a little more drink. Or the addict says, just a little more fix and I shall be clean. Everybody thinks that there will be one more time, that there will be one more opportunity, another day, and then the day comes when the accounting for the soul is required. Suddenly, as a thief in the night, the day of doom has come upon the sinner. And how then shall they stand? Let us answer that question. By heeding the gospel, by believing the gospel in faith, that God's love is such that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not come to the day of doom without aid, but shall have everlasting life. Friend, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not say to the harm of your own soul, as Felix said to Paul concerning the faith in Christ, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. How many times have you heard that when you tried to share the gospel with your unsaved family members or other folks? Go away for now when I have a convenient time. Now, I hope that convenient time comes. I hope that the Lord will bring that individual to their knees and that they will be in a place of repentance and they're going to come to you. And yes, they will come to you because they know that you have the answers. But I pray that there is an opportunity for that to happen. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom of your family, friends, and co-workers. I speak to you now and I speak to you again, Christian, having first spoken to myself. Are you too often a Christian who comes to Jesus by night, under cover of darkness, when no one can see you? Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Only 4 months, Jesus says. Only 4 months. There is a limited time. The time is short. Did your Savior, given only 3 or 4 years' time in his public ministry, take leave of the Father and men's souls to seek the world and check his social media accounts? Do you live as though the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, is far off? The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly, says the prophet Zephaniah. So I'd like to conclude this morning with two challenges. Christian friend, will you get busy this very day, working for the Lord however you can, in light of the fact that the day of doom is not afar off, but it is near? Your day is far spent. Follow the example of the Master and do the work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. If there are any unbelievers or skeptics in my midst, in my hearing, I plead with you today to make your peace with God through Jesus, lest the day of doom come upon you suddenly and there be no return from the place where you were going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the warnings, the stern warnings in your book. We thank you that you don't mince words, that you tell the truth at all times. Lord, we also know that there are seasons to be preaching the riches of your love and your grace which you shower upon us, and that there are also seasons to be preaching your mercy and your justice and your wrath to come. And Lord God, we trust that you work all of these things according to the counsel of your perfect will to minister to each and every soul. Lord, may your words cut to the heart of everyone here today. May we take them to heart. If laying our life down today for you is in order, then we shall do it. If turning back to you is in order, then we shall do it. If repenting of our laziness and presumptuous attitudes, our carnal attitudes, then we shall do that. And if we're doing well, Lord, we resolve to do doubly well. And Lord, we make this covenant before you this morning. We thank you that you hear prayers, and we trust that you will answer them and lead us according to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.